Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studios mobile today in Iowa City as we sit on the banks of the Iowa River, frozen over. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, right across from the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Hilscher's General Store hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. And this being Thursday, that means we are sponsored by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Someone who knows New Orleans like the back of his hand. He's a big Saints fan. And not only that, he'll take good care of you, more importantly. You can get a hold of Rick at 1-800-609-9484 or online at www.rewfinancial.com. And now, Kevin, the moment you've been waiting for.
Where my name replaces yours at the top of the on the title of the show?
Sure, if you want. It's up to you as to how far you want to take this.
I just didn't know. I thought maybe that was the moment I was waiting for. Of course, you're talking about Super Bowl tickets.
Yes, because you talked about that. So we bring in a guy that's an expert, Tony Knopp from Los Angeles, to talk about this and much more. Tony, we welcome you to the show. It's great to have you back on board again.
Steve, I appreciate you having me.
Right. This time the topic is, for the most part, the Super Bowl. Give me an idea in your world, corporations and how they align with teams and then how it figures to the Super Bowl.
Sure. You know, the Super Bowl is an interesting thing. Everybody wants to know who ends up in the seats, right? How do you end up with a crowd that is stoic by the standard of the NFL? And what actually happens with the Super Bowl, every team gets 1% of the tickets in the building. Then the two teams that lose in the championship game, so in this case, the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots, they get 8.5% of the tickets that are in the building. There's about, you know, depending on the year, 75,000 to 100,000 tickets in the building. Then the two teams that get in, Baltimore and San Francisco, they get 17.5% of the building each. So the myth that you need to get all your Super Bowl tickets, you know, 2 months, 3 months in advance, it's actually, you know, hogwash. The teams that have the majority of the tickets don't even know they have them until 2 weeks before the game. So until last Sunday, 49ers didn't even know how many tickets they were going to have. Now, from there, each team can do with their tickets as they please. And it would actually be pretty, you know, it would be a little bit of a fire to the fan to know what some are doing versus others. Some teams do a great job. They take their corporate partners, and then they take some of their season ticket holders. Others do different things, right? There are some teams who sell their tickets to ticket brokers, to known ticket brokers, as sponsorship packages, right? They'll advertise the broker a little bit in the building, but really all the broker's doing is buying the Super Bowl tickets so they can turn around and flip them. And so now if you do that math, and then you take the tickets that are available for the NFL to take out its corporate partners on a league level, you end up with a mix in the crowd that is generally corporate guests, right? And the reality is, you know, the senior vice president of finance at Acme Incorporated is not going to take a shirt off and paint the player's name on his chest. Right? So you're going to have a very different crowd than you do at the rest of the NFL games.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. That is probably not going to happen, especially if it ends up on Facebook. So when we look at this, the NCAA Final Four, at the request of CBS 3 years ago, mandated 2,000 tickets around the court for student bodies. They mandated. They mandated because they said, "Look, the atmosphere on TV—it sounds like polite golf applause on 17 for a par."
Right.
I mean, is that right. Is that what can the NFL do about this to then change that perception that it's flat?
It does, and you know, it goes beyond the NFL. That's going to be a major problem going forward. Corporations are going to foot more and more of the bill, especially with fans being able to stay home with large TVs. And the only reason a corporation wants to foot the bill is if it becomes an event they want to be a part of. And part of that is atmosphere and ambiance. And that atmosphere and ambiance of having, you know, the impassioned fan that is cheering and creating an atmosphere doesn't necessarily mean the corporate guest wants to sit next to that person, but they want to be in the building with them, right? And the NFL's battle here is it's just simple supply and demand, right? They've got the unrealistic expectation of a fan that I believe I should be able to buy a ticket for, you know, $100 to $300 when, you know, the ticket is clearly valued on a rather mature secondary market right now at, you know, $1,500 to $5,000. So, you know, the answer is, you know, what you suggested and what the NCAA has done is to create some kind of atmosphere that, you know, creates more of an ambiance that aligns with what the NFL brand is, right? Impassioned fans that love it. I mean, we've seen different examples of it. I don't know if you remember Andrew Bogut a couple years ago used his own money to buy 100 season tickets at the Milwaukee Bucks home games, and he held auditions for the fans that would sit in those seats.
Right, exactly. Said, I remember that.
If you guys don't show up to more than five games, then I'm going to kick you out of the group, right? So you're right. You're spot on when it comes to that. The issue is now you're going to have to say, okay, well, we have all of these corporate partners that want to go, and we're going to have to tell some of them that they can't. And the reality is, you know, you tell those customers they can't go, they're just going to go spend more money to get them from somewhere else.
New Orleans is an interesting spot because the NFL loves it because it's Mardi Gras 2 weeks ahead of time. Bourbon Street and
plenty
so
hotels,
forth.
Hotels, right.
Right, hotels, Canal Street, Bourbon Street, St. Peter's, Jackson Square, the whole thing. I mean, you and I both know the layout. But at the same time, it is... If you can't get a flight into New Orleans International Airport, you struggle.
It's not a large airport.
Right. You struggle finding other airports to get into it. There is not a lot of local interest in the game, okay, because they're Saints fans and not really football fans.
Right.
And, you know, and right now, from my understanding is, for the first time in 10 years, there's a lack of short sellers for this. What have you heard about that?
You know, we pay very close attention to the market and have been a part of it for a long time. My past life before this was at StubHub, and I saw it grow from, you know, a smaller company of under 100 people to where it was when I left, which was rather large, and now it's a behemoth. That market has just simply gotten more efficient. You know, 10 years ago, Super Bowl tickets were still difficult to get because they were, you know, teams were selling them out the back doors to brokers, partners were selling them out the back doors to brokers, and it was a hush-hush thing. And it was incredibly difficult for the average fan to go get a ticket. Now the teams are becoming more aware of what's out there, and they're becoming more transparent with what they're doing with their tickets. Meanwhile, so is the NFL. The NFL has a program in On Location that they resell their own tickets at, you know, market levels with hotels attached to it. And two things happen when that happens. One, the market becomes more efficient because you don't need the middleman anymore, those short sellers, the people who are out there guessing at what they can get a ticket for, because that margin has changed. Right. The days of, you know, for example, when the Chicago Bears played the Indianapolis Colts in Florida back in Miami in 2006, we saw get-in tickets in the secondary market go all the way up to $4,000 just to get in the game. And there was a lack of inventory because all the short sellers had made promises. They didn't realize that the ticket prices were going to go where they went. And it just jacked the prices up to, you know, $10,000, $12,000 to get in the game. That's not really happening anymore because you don't need the middleman. Now you can get tickets directly. And, you know, they're going out to these StubHub markets, to these Tickets Now markets, to these Ticketmaster ticket exchange markets, and they're making sure that, you know, it's easier for the fan to understand what's out there and how they can get it. So, you know, for example, online this week I've seen a lot of chatter that, you know, maybe the Ravens and 49ers weren't the draw everybody thought they were, and I would disagree. And the same argument would be made for Notre Dame and Alabama, right? Prices didn't show that it was as big a game as it should have been. Or I would say, actually, I do believe it is outperforming what we would have seen had we seen the Falcons and the Patriots. This is just this market getting more efficient and more transparent every year, and prices are going to drop because of it.
In fact, some had said that they actually preferred the Ravens in this thing because their fans would be rabid. They hadn't been to this in 12 years. Patriots, of course, went last year. And it's not panning out. There's some concern among short sellers right now, Tony, that face value might end up being the value, and they haven't seen that since the 2002 Super Bowl, but that was the 9/11 season, and people were not spending money.
No, it was the 9/11 season, and people weren't spending money. And I think it's just a matter of the market getting efficient faster. Like, for example, the Patriots and Giants in 2008, when the Patriots were undefeated in Phoenix, we were walking around outside the game beforehand, and tickets were $1,000 to get in with a face value of $800. So that delta had been closed. And that is happening more and more every year because of the transparency in the market, because of the fact that Super Bowl tickets are no longer that difficult to get. You can get them on StubHub, you can get them on Ticket Exchange, et cetera. And because the fan is just becoming more educated around the game, you know, you still see fraud. You still see, you know, like today I was reading that Ticketmaster's CEO gave tickets to a couple that had been defrauded in San Francisco that had bought tickets on Craigslist and received an envelope that said, go Ravens instead, right, after wiring $6,000 to the purported seller. But, you know, those things are starting to go away, right? That's a fear campaign. Right, you're going to get ripped off. Well, you're not going to get ripped off on StubHub or Ticket Exchange or Tickets Now, because they're very, very large companies. You know, StubHub's part of eBay, a multi-billion-dollar company. And if it's a fraudulent ticket, they'll simply give you another one, and it's generally a better one. And they have the money to do that. So I think because of that, the market has become more transparent. And I just don't think that, you know, with the exception of getting the Dallas Cowboys in or one of the, you know, the Dallas Cowboys playing the Denver Broncos, I don't think we're going to see those extravagant prices anymore. I just don't.
Tony, next year the Super Bowl will be at MetLife Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, despite the $1.6 billion price tag for MetLife, it is an open-air stadium.
It is an open-air stadium.
And for $1.6 billion, they didn't put a retractable roof on it, which keeps them out of the NCAA basketball rotation, keeps them out of, really, essentially out of the Super Bowl rotation, too, except for the exception next year.
Right.
We know, you and I both know, that fans this year know when they go to the game, they're going to be able to walk into the dome in comfort and watch the game. Next year, they don't have no idea. Is there some concern ahead of time about tickets for a game like that that is outdoors with the unpredictability that you could have a day where it's 28 degrees and windy and not great?
Yes, and absolutely. Now, there's two things that point to that. One, Dallas did not go well because it was, quote, too cold, and that was an indoor game.
Right, and that's indoors, right.
Right, the complaints around being there that weekend with snow on the ground and frigid temperatures were rampant, right? It was not, you know, Indianapolis kind of got a pass because it was a quaint community. And quite honestly, Indianapolis is a great place to attend a game, right? They've got a lot of different things going on downtown, and it's not very spread out.
And you and I both know that the hotels, the quad between Conseco and Lucas Oil Stadium, really confines that action, and that they really have they've set it up right.
Yeah, they set it up right. That city is set up for events like that,
right,
like San Antonio is.
Yes, San Antonio, very much so. Yep.
Right? New York is set up where you've got to – there's no public transportation to MetLife. That's easy, right? It's not as easy as just getting around the rest of the city. You know, we're part of a conference there in April where a lot of people have to be, you know, shuttered by shuttle from downtown out to MetLife Stadium where they're having the conference. Now, I think it'll be a successful event. I think that it will be okay – when it comes to draw, but I think New Yorkers in general overestimate the draw within New York. And, you know, because the Yankees are such a big national brand and MSG is such a big national brand, I don't know if MetLife Stadium is there yet, and it's working on it, but they've already got PR issues in front of them. Joe Flacco trashed the idea, you know, I think 2 days ago. He called it ridiculous that they were having a Super Bowl there. And I don't know. With Dallas on the way Dallas went, I can't imagine the feelings in New York being anything but a cautious pessimism going in.
And I had you on before we talked briefly about the NHL. I just want to revisit that. How has that mm-hmm. gone in the early going?
They're selling out like crazy in most of the cities that we thought they were going to, and they're certainly not in some of the cities we thought.
Your projections were right then.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was easy to see what the projection would be based on the corporate demand within, you know, what we see with the tickets that we manage. And it's going the way we expected. The thing about the NHL right now, it's going to be difficult to tell what the real fallout is until next year, for two reasons. One, most of the corporate partners don't need to renew for another month or two. So we'll find out what that fallout is in the next few months. And I do think they will lose some.
And they were were locked in the summer already, right?
They were locked in.
Yeah,
they locked in last April, May, before there was even a discussion of a lockout. So they didn't really have a choice here. And then with the regular fans, you know, you're going to say, well, you know, we're selling out left and right. Well, of course you are. You only have 50% of the inventory. Right? So if you lost 20% of your fans, but you only have 50% of the inventory, then you're oversubscribed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The question is going to be what happens next year. I think the fall off will be minor just because the NHL's fans are so loyal, so much more loyal than any other sport. And, you know, only in the fringe markets will they really feel it like we knew it was going to happen.
How loyal are NFL fans?
They're incredibly loyal right now. I think the issue that you're running into with the NFL is a game day experience issue, which is getting worse and worse every year. It's becoming less and less of a family event to go to NFL games. And every week it's, you know, the wire is populated with another fight, another, you know, fallout that just doesn't make it safe to go to NFL games. So that's concern number one for them. Concern number two is the price point for the entry-level fan, right? There's got to come a point where they realize that the entry-level fan, to what we were discussing earlier, is creating the ambiance necessary to get the big money fan in.
No doubt.
Right? That's the whole point. And so you need to stop pricing out the entry-level fan that is a big fan. And I think technology is getting to that point. I think we're eventually going to get to a point where, you know, a season ticket holder can get offered a special deal based on attendance. Right?
Right?
You can have this price as long as you attend every game and every year you do it. And it really what it'll do is it'll take us back to the old days. Right, back in the old days, you had a season ticket holder who got significant benefits for being a season ticket holder because they'd been there forever. Right, their ticket was $100 when the market would have, they could have charged $500 on the market for it. It didn't matter. You could sit behind home plate for $100.
Right.
Well, now you sit behind home plate for $1,500. So you need to find another way to get that season ticket holder their value. And you can use that season ticket holder to create that ambiance you need. I think that's the future. I think it's, you know, a subscription-based model where we get the right fans here, and their attendance counts towards what their discount is, so to speak, and it creates the ambiance that makes the corporate partners say, you know what, I need to be a part of this. Because that's how every major and super popular event like the Masters, et cetera, that's how they're built. They're built by a cult following that makes it important and makes it something that becomes much more appealing to a wider audience, like events like Burning Man, who nobody would ever consider attending, you know, 8 years ago, and now it's become a big national thing out in Nevada. And you create that ambiance that makes the rich say, okay, I want to be a part of that. And if my vendor will take me, maybe I'll throw them some business over another vendor that, you know, is very similar.
I always cite two examples when it comes to seats being filled up by the average individual. When the Seattle Mariners had the ceiling tiles come down, they had to play the rest of the season on the road. So those were extra home games for Major League Baseball teams. And what almost every team did was they said, look, they don't go to the season ticket holders. They're $20 a piece. You want to come in, we'll give the money to the charity. Well, and
right.
the other one was, you and I both know they don't play the middle Sunday at Wimbledon. Well,
nope.
1 year because of rain, they had to. In each case, the baseball players and the tennis players said it was the single most remarkable atmospheres they've ever been in. Because, look, people were sitting in seats they never dreamed to be sitting in before. Those are the real fan that is aching to be there.
And it's, you know, it's interesting because in the world we play in the software world, these things are understood. Right, it's understood that you have to give in some places to get in others. I have to give Android away as Google so that I can make money doing other things. It doesn't feel like the teams have figured that out yet. Now, you know what? Maybe you're going to sacrifice a little bit of ticket revenue by getting the quote-unquote real fans in there. And you do need a significant amount of technology. And, you know, the Ticketmasters and Tickets.coms of the world are doing what they can to make sure that that happens so that those aren't resold. But when you do that, when you make it available, when you create that ambiance and you create that atmosphere, people want to be a part of it, right? And that can drive more money on the sponsorship side. It drives more money on the TV side, and it drives more money on the merchandise side, which in many cases is getting very, very high. You know, if you go look at a very mature market like the English Premier League, some of those teams out there are doing less than 40% of total revenues game day.
Right.
Right. They're selling a ton of merchandise, and they're selling huge TV right deals.
Right.
Well, the EPL's got its own TV right deal. But, you know, that's how the future is going to be built by this. And the important thing is, how do you get the real fan there? And it ties exactly back to your first question. The Super Bowl is great because it's, you know, a nationally accepted event that's got the advertisements, et cetera. But the actual event itself, you know, it lacks a little bit. It's a five-hour game when you're there, and you realize how long those commercials are the minute you sit in the stands for one of those games.
Right. And the other part too is, you and I both know the television number matches the salary cap number in the NFL. In the seats are gravy, and you and I both know that, right? And that's the part I don't get, right?
Right.
Okay, the player salaries are taken care of. After that, it's what you could sell. You want luxury suites and put corporate people there? Great. But like, you can cater to real fans and not worry about it. Well, that's another topic.
Right. Another topic, but an important topic. I think some teams have figured it out. I think the L.A. Dodgers have figured it out. And I think that, you know, if they can get this TV deal through, I think Bud Selig's going to have something to say about it. But they're looking at this and saying this is a global brand. It's not about how many tickets we can sell. That's important. But it's not as important as the TV money, as the corporate sponsorship money, and about getting our merchandise sold globally.
All great points. Tony, it's always a pleasure. It's always an easy talk with you.
Absolutely. Have you back anytime. I really love talking to you guys.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. News at the bottom of the hour next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Hello, 2013. That means Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying customers for 98 years. I'd say if you need a recommendation on where to buy your next new vehicle, there's probably been 50,000 customers you could ask. Sunbury Motors Ford sold the most F-150 pickup trucks in the entire Philadelphia zone. They're the number one F-Series dealer. Unbelievable. SMC has 99 F-Series available starting at $21,954. If you're looking at awards, Sunbury Motors Hyundai ended 2012 as the number one Hyundai dealer in customer satisfaction in the Eastern Sales District. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 23 Hyundai Elantras starting at $17,490. Sunbury Motors Kia wants to see you in a Kia, and now is the time to buy a 2013 Serena with $3,500 off.
Plus 0% financing for 60 months.
Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making American luxury affordable by discounting a brand new Navigator $10,100. Find your next new Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia at sunburymotors.com or stop in Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, well, Jeff Byers tomorrow. Jeff is going to join us here in Iowa City as he broadcasts the Penn State-Iowa dual meet tomorrow night, which will be at 9 o'clock here. They're calling for a blackout. And the first 4,000 fans will get an Iowa wrestling schedule poster. There's a month ago season. I would assume that they know what the schedule is.
I was going to say, don't they have, like, maybe, what, five dual meets left?
I mean, normally you give that out in November, don't you?
And here's
You need an incentive.
Yeah.
I didn't know you need an incentive to get in.
Exactly. If you really need a promotion for the number one and number three wrestling teams in the nation, there's a serious issue.
Yeah. It'll be sold out tomorrow night. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call, 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motors Studio Mobile today at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kierwoods 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Hilshers General Store Hotline open at 1-800 795-9585. You can go online to www.hillshirestore.com, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Susquehanna Trail. So, as I watch the snow fall outside, it's been bitterly cold here today. And what's been interesting, of course, this has been, I thought this was going to be an incredibly quiet Super Bowl week. Pretty standard. Nothing different. And, you know, just a lot of Harbaugh this and Harbaugh that and Harbaugh this and Harbaugh that. We haven't heard much of anything about the Harbaughs because everywhere you look, there's been something. This has been one crazy deal.
Did you hear the latest about the deer antler spray now?
What's the latest on deer antler spray?
Now there is, you're going to love this. There is a report coming out that I think it's, well, it originally started, of course, with Sports Illustrated, but there's a report coming out that Alabama players have been cited using spray.
Yeah, but we talked about that on yesterday's show.
I just thought that was hilarious.
Well, yeah, but yeah, we talked about it on yesterday's show. And then Vijay Singh, of course, is the other one. He pulled out today of the Waste Management Open while Phil Mickelson was credit laid waste to the course. Wow, it's really snowing out. Wow.
Well, you don't have to worry about a reschedule. That doesn't happen at your level.
Reschedules happened has happened before. Out of tragedy, it's happened.
There's only one weather-related delay that I could ever think of. And it involved you, and that was officials that couldn't fly out of Philadelphia. They had to drive. I remember that.
Yeah, that was the Wisconsin. That was a Wisconsin game, and then we were late for a Michigan game once because, well, there are a lot of reasons. It'll be in my book.
Can't wait to read
that.
That's
why we're late. Let's see. And then there was one time that the game was delayed between Penn State and Iowa, and that was the tragic death of Chris Street 20 years ago. 20 years ago this month. In fact, Chris Street's birthday is Saturday. And Penn State, that was the game that they were, you know, I think they were having dinner. His car, he didn't see it. He pulled out, got hit by a snowplow. They were supposed to leave for Penn State the next day to play the day after that. So this is 48 hours before the game. Say that, you know, so, of course, they postponed the game. They moved it back. And Penn State and Iowa ended up playing back-to-back games against one another. The first one was at Penn State, and then they, you know, went to Iowa City. So postponements do happen sometimes. Let's see. Ray Lewis has had a lot of attention this week. He's had a lot of attention the last month. And I'll tell you right now that the Ravens linebackers, only my personal opinion, are the fourth, fifth, and sixth best linebackers on the field. I would take Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, and Alden Smith all before any one of the Ravens linebackers. Now, it's all matchups. It's all matchups. They, you know, the 49ers defensively only play 12 guys. You know, they'll take the nose tackle out. They'll bring in a nickel back. That's it. You know, their linebackers are every down linebacker. So their sub package is just one guy, right? A slot corner replacing a nose tackle. That's it. And when they do throw the ball, normally Patrick Willis takes the tight end. Navarro Bowman takes the running back. And one of the more important matchups in the game, in the pass game, will be Ray Rice on the wheel route against Navarro Bowman. And if you watch that, that's what they consistently do. Now, you, of course, are... Did anything come out of that interview that changed your opinion on the outdoor NFL experience?
No. And here's the one point that I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was sitting here thinking this. The one point that I think you guys forgot to mention was the fact that everybody went to Dallas not expecting that kind of weather. You go to New York, you expect that kind of weather. I think that's where I think it's a little bit different.
I'm not so sure about that. I think everybody's sophisticated enough to know to go online and find out what the weather's going to be this weekend.
I'll agree with that, but if I'm going to Dallas, I'm going to check the weather, no question about it. But I'm also going to complain that it's cold because I don't expect it to be cold, even though I've seen the weather forecast. I go to New York, I expect it to be cold whether I've seen the forecast or not, so I'm not going to complain.
I disagree with that. I think you're wrong about that because look at all the past Cotton Bowls that have been played on New Year's Day, including the memorable Joe Montana comeback by Notre Dame against Houston where they won the game 35-34. I mean, that game was played in an ice storm. Okay? So it's not unusual to see that kind of weather there at this time. It's a hit-or-miss thing when it comes to Dallas, and I think they knew that going in. I mean, Dallas has had bad weather days. And bad weather days for games when we've seen, this would be a month later, but on New Year's Day.
But then you mentioned...
expect it to be that bad?
Right.
Well, no, I don't think anybody expects it to be that bad, but you do expect... you don't go to Dallas at this time of the year and say, let's all go out to the pool.
Right.
Nobody goes to Dallas. And said, let's go to the pool, have some fun, then go to the game. That's not part of the experience. Plus, of course, the game's in Arlington, too. It's not even in Dallas.
But I think you guys mentioned Indianapolis as well, and I know most of that stuff was localized and inside. But again, Indianapolis is one of those places I don't expect it to be 50 degrees even.
No, but Indianapolis is set up differently.
Right.
Indianapolis is set up as opposed to Dallas. Okay, you want to know the setup at Cowboys Stadium? I can tell you the setup at Cowboys Stadium. I've been there. You drive up, you go to Arlington, you get off the exit. Right away, you see Six Flags Great Adventure. That's a little more in the distance. That's on one side of the quad. Then you go by the ballpark at Arlington first. Okay, then as I mentioned, then further down from that, as you look north, you'll see Six Flags Great Adventure. Now you head a little bit west, and a little bit. You're talking about a mile, okay? If that, there's Cowboys Stadium, and next to it's a Super Walmart, which just does not fit into the area. But that's what you have. Okay, that's what you have. Now, in Indianapolis, you're downtown. You have Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I think I referred to it as Conseco because that's what it's been most of the time since I've been there. But you have Bankers Life Fieldhouse on one side, then a series of restaurants, hotels in between over a two-block span. I think I'm getting that right, Dave. What do you say, two, three blocks?
Yep.
And then you have Lucas Oil Stadium. It's all right there, hotels and restaurants all together within a comfortable walking distance. I mean, and a lot of hotels. And a lot of restaurants. Okay? And a mall next to it. Okay? A multi-tiered mall. I mean, that's what you have in Indianapolis. They're set up for big events as a city. It was a downtown area. Again, you have Bankers Life Fieldhouse. 2 to 3 blocks worth of restaurants and hotels. A mall. Lucas Oil Stadium. It's an easy, easy setup. That's why, the NCAA headquarters is in Indianapolis. That's why they get the Final Four every fifth year. And they're used to doing big events in Indianapolis. Now, you would say, of all the cities, who's best equipped to handle big events and this, that, and the other thing? Indianapolis doesn't come to mind until you go there and realize they know what they're doing.
Their
organizing committee is absolutely outstanding at putting together bids for things. That's why they get a lot of stuff.
Well, I want to defend my Dallas point in a minute, but I have Doug on the line from Wellsboro to chat with you, Steve.
Hi, Doug. How are you today? Hi, Doug.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
How are you? Well, how are you, Doug? Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, I have a little question off topic a little bit. What happened with the Virginia game this year? Joyner says that Virginia backed out of it, and the Virginia folks were saying that we backed out of it. Can you tell me what happened?
Well, Virginia is going to schedule Oregon to play in that spot, and thus they're going to have 8 home games this year. So I think they contacted Penn State and said, look, we'd like to – is it possible? Penn State was said, sure, yeah, it's possible. And then Penn State will be announcing at some point – I think everybody knows where they're going to go, okay, because it's already been reported in the Orlando Sentinel where Penn State is going to go with the game. But, you know, they contacted them. They had a chance to get Oregon on the schedule. Oregon's going to be on the Virginia schedule. And then Penn State's going to go a different direction in 13 and 14.
Will they try to get Virginia back on later on? Is there going to be like a makeup game later on, a couple years?
Doug, that's all going to depend on what happens, obviously, with Big Ten expansion. Because we're all sitting here waiting to see if something else is going to happen to get to 15 and 16 games. There's also going to be down the road the possibility of 15 or 16 teams, schools. We're also seeing down the road that the Big Ten is going to consider going from 8 conference games to 9 conference games. So there are a lot of variables that go into whether you can just pick up and get a team or a school to be on your schedule. And things like that, well, I think between now and July 1st, we'll have a better read on your question.
Okay. Hey, one other thing, Steve. I read some this week about they're possibly thinking about adding John Hopkins for lacrosse, much like they do the hockey thing, you know, for a certain number of teams. Is that true? Is there any validity to that, or is that just internet rumor?
No, they want to put together a Big Ten men's lacrosse conference, and they feel that they can step outside and maybe get a Johns Hopkins to be a part of it, and I think that's more than just an internet rumor. I think there's some possibility to it because they would like to have a Big Ten men's lacrosse conference. And right now, I think there are 5 schools that play. When you add Maryland and Rutgers into the mix, I think it comes out to 5 schools play. You need 6 in order to have a conference, just like in the hockey situation. When Penn State added in 6, then they formed a Big Ten hockey conference.
Would they be full members, or would they just be affiliated with the conference?
Affiliated.
Okay.
Yeah, they'd be affiliated.
Okay.
Yeah, I can guarantee you in no uncertain terms that they are not going to be a full conference member.
Well, I assume so, but, thanks for your time today, Steve.
Anytime, Doug. Appreciate it. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Yeah, when it comes to men's lacrosse, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan have it. Rutgers and Maryland also have it. Nobody else has it. And except for the exception of a Penn State adding ice hockey, nobody's adding men's sports. Okay, nobody is.
Well, I'd like
do
to
do it with Title IX.
I'd like to go back to what we were talking about before with Super Bowls and climates. And here is the one thing. I'm going to do it anyway. We were mentioning the comparison with Dallas and New York. And I agree with you. Dallas does get cold. There's no question about it. There's opportunities there where it's not very comfortable. However, the average temperature in Dallas, and we'll go with January because it's early February is when the game would be. In the average temperature in Dallas is 60 degrees. In New York, it's barely 30. It's not even 40. So the point I was trying to make is if you go to Dallas, you expect it to at least be in the 50s and 60s, which, if you're from the north, is really, really comfortable. If you're going to New York, you're not expecting anything over 40 degrees, so anything over 40 is going to be beautiful.
Look, 35% of the people in the stadium didn't even know they're going to be there until 2 weeks before.
And that's a good point.
All right. 35% of the people in the stadium do not know they're going to be at the game until 2 weeks ahead of time. Because each team gets, each Super Bowl participant gets 17.5% of the tickets.
That's true.
Each conference loser gets 8% of the tickets. All the other teams get 1%. Okay. So when you have 35% that don't
it's not their vacation plan.
Yeah, it's not their vacation plan. They don't know.
And you know, and that's a little different than a bowl game, for instance, because I know a lot of people that traveled to bowl games over the years, and they knew where they were going early November or by mid-November and actually planned that as their vacation over the holidays. So that's a good, that's a good
point. Even the bowl thing is getting a little tricky for fans, okay? And the reason that the bowl thing is getting tricky for fans right now is that they keep announcing it, you know, it's that, you know, because of the conference championship games, they're getting announced sometimes on December 8th, 9th. You know, I mean, it's taking a little while. I mean, I guess it can't go past December 7th, all right? But now, December 7th, I mean, say you hit one of those years where, it comes up that way. Well, December 7th is only 24 days before a New Year's Day game. That's pretty quick, and prices are high on flights at that time. So, you know, you get concerned about that. But, again, my biggest concern is that when it comes to stadium atmosphere, is that, look, I know you need to price stadiums in a certain way. I understand that because, look, this is your business. You're trying to put people in seats and make money. But I think you have to still cultivate the young 20-something fan that is really into it and wants to be there. And I think you have to have a price level that fits that 20-something fan, because eventually when they do achieve some success in life, whether it's in their mid-30s, early 40s, you have them ingrained in it. And then at that point, they want to upgrade and move to that next level. And I think you have to do a better job of cultivating that fan by making at least some part of the stadium affordable to them.
And that's my big problem with right now baseball. I'll use baseball and football. Now, I realize there's many more home games for baseball than football, so the ticket prices aren't going to balance out. But proportionally, to go to a Phillies game, let's say, and to get seats where they're decent. I mean, I'm not talking great seats. You're not behind the pitcher. You know, you're not behind home plate or behind the dugout. You're still talking in the $30 range for one seat for a home game.
Right. And again, baseball prices it differently. But then you go, like, for example, if you and I want to go to a Yankees game, how much money are we going to have to shell out to see a Yankees game? How much money are we going to have to shell out to see a Red Sox game? Now, if you and I want to go to a Tampa Bay Rays game, you know, we can shell out bleacher seats and then move ourselves down to the front row behind the dugout if we wish.
After the second inning.
All right, exactly. As soon as we survey the situation, we're on the move. Because they don't draw. They averaged, 23,000 last year? And the Rays are saying, look, to be viable, they have to average 30. Which is more than Major League Baseball averages, 30. So, I mean, if you want to go to a game and the NBA, forget it. The NBA has priced itself high. The NHL is a little more reasonable, but the NBA, I have never seen a league overestimate itself more than the NBA does. In terms of, I think they've overestimated completely what their popularity is, their importance, their significance. It's only my opinion. I've always felt that, you know, last year the lockout ended pretty fast when they looked around and everybody's like, yeah, so. You have to know who you are.
No big deal.
Yeah. Tomorrow we're going to have Joe Bautista on the show to talk about Penn State hockey. They're at the Giant Center tomorrow night to take on Ohio University and to talk about the progress of Pegula. And we'll talk about the progress and the TV coverage of the Big Ten Network, what it'll do for scheduling over the next few years for Penn State ice hockey. So Joe Bautista will be on the show with us tomorrow. And so we have a lot going on. And we'll get everybody up to date on that. Plus, we'll talk about the Super Bowl. Tonight, Penn State, Iowa. That'll be 8 o'clock, 7:30 the airtime. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com. For Kevin Herr, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.